Welcome to The Dopest. I'm Zoe Brownstone. Each week, I talk with the activists, entrepreneurs, and artists shaping the cannabis landscape. In this episode, I sat down with Lisa Haroon, the co-founder of the Toronto-based company Vapium. We talked about the world of vaping, very exciting new technology that people are getting into, especially around cannabis. Some call it safer than smoking. We talked about branding around the Canada guidelines and where she thinks we might be heading with vapes in general. So enjoy. Lisa, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm very happy to be sitting down with you. I'm here sitting with Lisa Haroon, the co-founder of Vapium, which is a Toronto-based vape company. I didn't know that at first. I was doing some research and I was like, awesome. Love companies that come up from my city. Let's start at the beginning. Tell me about starting a vape company in the city. Like, what did that entail? And it's, you said 6 years old. And if we go back in time 6 years, like, cannabis is definitely not legal. The medical rollout is kind of brand new. So bring me through that kind of, what sparked that for you? No pun intended.
But we vape, so there is
no fire, there is no sparking. Right? So, yes, fair.
Where there is, what is there, flame, there's no fire?
Yeah, something like that.
So we actually used to make robots. That's how my partner and I met. We were living in Asia, doing automation as well as toy robots, and we looked at the industry, and we looked at our marketing budget, and we said, you know what? Let's sell our properties, because of the fact that at that time, every man, woman, and child wanted an iPod or an iPhone or an iWhatever, an iLife, and there was no competing with jobs at that stage, and so we said, you know what? Let's pivot. And what did we want to pivot into? Something else. We're makers, so we wanted to make something. And it happened that a factory that we knew had asked my partner to look at a project that they were doing. And Michael came home one day and he said, what do you think about vaporizers? And I was like, what the heck is it? What vaporizers? He's like, for cannabis. And at that time, we called it the WEED. And I said, well, I don't want to go to jail. We live in Asia. Because there is zero tolerance in Asia.
Massive.
But
big no-no.
It's making a product. So I said, well, what do they want you to do? And he said, they want me to fix it. And I said, well, fix it and then look at it and see what you think. So he fixed it, made somebody else a lot of money. And then he said, you know what? I'm going to engineer something. And he went away, as he does, and tinkers and tools. And we were doing some other projects. And I was focused on another project at the time. And then he came back to me and he goes, one day, puts it on the table and he goes, I did it. I said, okay. I said, tell me about this thing. And he said, I made it with all food and medical grade, like you said, because of the fact that because Canada has a medical program, we wanted to make sure that we were designing and engineering our products for the medical part of...
To meet those standards.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Anything that's good enough for medical or meets a medical standard is going to be adopted by rec, right? Because of the fact that you know it's safe. And it's also something that you're using in your lungs, like in your body. So we wanted to develop standards before standards existed. So I got really excited and he's like, build me a voice to this. Let's have fun. Let's be creative with this. So we started the naming process. We started building out like the persona as you once did within this, looking at what our demographic is and how did we fit in with this society, right? Like where were we going to carve our niche? And at that time, there were a handful of companies, like legit.
Yeah, I was trying to dig through and I honestly couldn't find anything where I was like, oh yeah, that, like, it kind of just came out of nowhere.
No, so I'll tell you who existed. PAX, Ariser, of which there's no marketing.
Right.
Storks and Bickel, which is the volcano.
Oh.
Who else?
Storks and Bickel?
Storks and Bickel. They make the volcano.
Right,
you know,
right.
The volcano?
Yeah. Of course. I've never heard the name, the parent company name. That's funny.
Magic Flight, which was a wooden and glass box. Mm-hmm. And then there were two more. A company out of the U.S. called Da Vinci.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that's it. Like we didn't, there weren't.
It was a small market
that was starting to be carved out. But what we saw was the fact that no one was looking at how do you like, what kind of lifestyle? Like, what do you do? Like, are we active? Like, yes, there was a music component to it. There was a lifestyle. There was an urban component to
the
it.
The user.
Oh, that's
yeah.
right. And G-Pen, because we love them. Right. They are our homies.
Okay.
And so, and they had Snoop. And Snoop, like... like,
well, who doesn't love Snoop?
Crazy people.
Yeah.
So, like, we didn't have the budget to go out and partner with like a big name music artist. We didn't have that yet, right? We were building up our company. Our focus was R&D and engineering. And we thought about how we are and how we are as consumers. And we love to vape and go hiking or be active, do yoga, like just, not that traditional, and I hate to use this word, but like stoner.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was never how we adopted mm-hmm. cannabis into our lifestyles. So we started to carve this out by being like, our tagline was get out there. So like take your vape, make sure that it's portable, make sure that it's charged, fill up your pockets with as much green as you can and do something. Mm-hmm. Ski, skate, snowboard. I mean, within reason, don't like don't do things that are dangerous, but be active and start to rethink about like the application of cannabis in your life. And that resonated with people and we started to grow a really, really wonderful community within like for Vapium. Sold that into 20 countries, had three different versions of that, had a weekender kit, which I wish we still sold, which came with a solar panel.
That's awesome. So cool. That's perfect for camping.
Exactly. Just getting off the grid.
Yeah, for sure.
Like really and truly.
Bring your own grid.
Exactly.
That's very cool.
Then we did a collab with the Strain Hunters, which is a group out of Amsterdam. They're amazing.
Yeah, I've heard
They're
of them.
You'll see more of them, I think, in the next little while. Friends of ours that run another company, Slang, ended up buying the rights to work with them in North America.
Very
so
cool.
I'm really excited to see what Slang does with them.
Can I ask you a quick question? You said 20 countries. Did you find it was like difficult to get into markets where cannabis wasn't legalized? Like did you have to shift the angle where like cannabis wasn't normalized? Like Canada, we've been talking about legalization for a while, so I could understand there being a natural market, but I'm thinking certain European countries where that's like pretty far off the horizon still. Was it, you know, challenging kind of digging yourself a little avenue to get in there?
We were lucky in the sense that navigation came through partnerships. So we had really great distributors who understood our product, understood our niche, and it resonated with people. It was sort of like the Swiss Army knife, if you will. It comes with an embedded pick tool.
Yeah.
It was splash proof. So it's the first splash proof one. So basically it was like an all weather vape. You could ski and drop it in the snow, get caught in a rainstorm, be up at like 15,000 feet or down at sea level, and it just worked.
Mm-hmm.
It was constructed of all food and medical grade, and we were the ones who, I believe in simplicity. And so when we were talking about how to actually explain how things work, like a stop sign, green meant go. And I love the fact that a lot of other people adopted that.
Yeah.
They also adopted haptic feedback. And the reason that we adopted haptic feedback was for the patient.
Tell me about haptic feedback, because we've heard it before when talking about vape technology, but I don't think a lot of people really understand what that means.
So it's the vibration that you'll feel in a product. And the reason, so haptic feedback will occur in other devices.
A cell phone.
100%, right? So that little buzz mm-hmm. instead of an audible ding is because of the fact that it wants to alert you to something. The robot is doing something. So for us, Green Meant Go was like, instead of having to stare at the thing the entire time being like, okay, it's ready, the vibration coupled with the visual mark meant that you knew when it was ready as a recreational user. Now, if you had macular degeneration or, maybe memory issues and you forget, like that's a physical reminder that mm-hmm. you're ready to vaporize.
Mm-hmm.
And say if you're colorblind, right, it then makes up for the fact that you don't need to know what color it's turning.
Very cool. That's very cool. So was there any, we talked about markets outside of Canada, was there any type of shift that you had to adhere to when rec became legal in October? Because I know that there are certain guidelines with advertising and marketing and certainly getting your product somewhere like the Ontario Cannabis Store. Have you had to, I don't know, strip out any of your branding or shift the kind of story that you're telling with this product to not avoid, but kind of, you know, skate around the guidelines that our somewhat strict provincial government has put forward?
It's easier sometimes to adhere to them, right? And that's where your opportunity therein lies, because how creative can you get within those parameters? So for us, we made sure that everything was compliant, everything from being bilingual, which our European distributors love. We're adding in other languages, and then looking at it saying, okay, we get it. You don't want to promote lifestyle because of the fact that we're not ready yet to embrace the fact that cannabis is medicine and this is a recreational play. You know, eventually one day, hopefully we'll be like beer, you know, if you look at it, yes, liquor is not able to publicly advertise, but those commercials make beer look really fun.
I would agree. Yes.
Really? You're just like, I want Miller time all the time because this looks amazing. Yeah. Like Bud Light, heck yeah.
Look at how gorgeous they are.
Exactly, right? Like those people are always having fun.
Yeah.
Now, couple that with cannabis and vaporizers, there's no aggression, there's no hangover, you know, you're feeding your body and your endocannabinoid system good things, and having a good time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I look forward to those days, and I think it's just a matter of time that we need to, yes, it's like how you would start to raise children. You put a lot of guidelines in, and then eventually as it matures, we start to shift those parameters so that, you know, as the market matures, that we can have more fun with it. And so it's not that it isn't fun. It is absolutely fun, but it's come with a little bit more creative thinking, I think.
Yeah, it requires many branches, I think. Like
there's no one solution.
There's no one solution. No. Like there are so many methods, different methods of consumption with cannabis, and you can kind of pick and choose depending on whether you're a recreational user or a medical user. I think that like a solid, dependable vaporizer is something that benefits the entire community because, you know, whether you're a recreational user or a medical user, you need something that's going to work consistently. So do you find that when developing a product like this, like in the beginnings, I guess, and when you were kind of tinkering with it towards, you know, getting it to market, was it really, you talked about having the medical guidelines like really in place. Were you really going for that medical patient? And then sort of the recreational user is the cherry on top?
So let me take you back just a little bit because of the fact that, so now under the Vapian brand, we have three brands. Our second brand was for the consumption of concentrates, which I think is magical plant science. That is not legal in Canada, so we don't promote that yet. But if you did some digging, you could find out about our product, which is called Biggie. It's under the higher label. Which is HYER, not promoting that in Canada, but rec was always, or I beg your pardon, medical was always first and foremost in terms of like our vision and mission, and how we've created every product because of the fact that we control our complete supply chain, everything from nuts and bolts. We own our own factory. Wow. We make sure that, you know, with that, we now have, a high ISO rating beyond 9001, which means that our defective rates are lower. Because we're looking at like your path. And the path that's not just like 1, 3, and 5 years out, but what your long-term vision is. So what does it mean to say, where will Vapian be in 10 and 20 years? And that to me is really important. Like what our footprint is, not just environmentally speaking, but on the patient side, like that's the most satisfying thing. Like, yes, it's amazing when people, you know, are like, yes, it worked and I got really high. That's great. I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
We're doing our job as a team. But when a patient says that we've improved their life, we've made their life easier, end of days or elongating as part of their treatment protocol, that's why we did what we, you know, what we do or what we did. Mm-hmm. And so where we are now, coming back to that, that was kind of a long-winded answer, but we're about to launch our medical division, which I'm so excited about.
Wow.
And it's about data and dosing and really developing cannabis as medicine. So really dialing in to how, like what a patient's treatment protocol is and how you get to personalized and specialized medicine. And that to me is really, really interesting. So we've, from the onset, that was how we saw ourselves as being somebody who's going to put their footprint and like, and make a difference and looking at the long-term goals and missions of the company.
Yeah, I think that is one of the most fascinating areas of this industry. I don't think enough companies are taking on responsibility of footprint. And especially with vaporizers, we see so many disposable CBD vape pens. Like, that was such a huge trend last year, especially, I think, like, leading up to legalization. People were so excited to have this kind of dose and toss product, and not enough people were talking about A, the waste that's involved with that, and B, the contents of the actual product. So when you make a, like, you guys don't sell cannabis, obviously, you make a product to facilitate the use of cannabis. But I think it's really integral to the industry that we look for products that are more sustainable, that we can use over time and try with other products. I know you're not hyping up the concentrates pen, but that's like a very exciting area that not enough people are really talking about and developing, I think, in this country to get ready for the inevitable, which I think is safe to say.
Later this year,
we've said edibles and oil. We've heard edibles and oils. Let's keep crossing our fingers for that.
Yes, very much so. But we will be eventually plant touching. So that's our...
Really?
Yeah, it's closed loop systems for plant and extract.
Incredible.
Which I'm really excited about. So
In Canada.
Yeah.
Can you say anything else about it?
What else can I say about it? We've created a integrated hardware-software platform for patients and caregivers to really dial in their treatment protocol. So getting to a point where we really understand beyond strains, beyond just THC and CBD. You know, we drill into plant science. And so we're working with some really smart people globally. We just came back from spending some time in Colombia as well as in California. And the plant science is extraordinary. Like, we're so excited. This is a big week for Vapium.
That's awesome.
I wish I could tell you what was ahead, but we're looking at JVs and the application and the rollout of this product, and I'm feel really, really blessed. Like, it's been 6 years of a lot of work. My partner and I bootstrapped this company until 2017, where we took in some funding from some bigger players in the space, and that helped us. That helped us with the R&D and developing out this program. So to now finally see it into fruition is like, it's just like dreams come true, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really, really exciting.
Yeah, I think that once engineers and builders do lift the lid, like take the next step beyond strain and plant information and dive a little bit deeper into the chemistry and biology of and taxonomy of plants, I think that that's the natural next step. I think that a lot of people in the industry and consumers of cannabis are like, yes, we've been waiting for this. Like, we know what indica means. We know what sativa means. Like,
But they don't.
Like, they really don't.
How digestible things have been. Like, there's not...
They'll just believe it. I know.
And it's so hard. You know, the thing that kills me is when we hear, like, people say CBD doesn't work, right? Or can I take CBD? Is it going to make me high? It doesn't make you high. I mean, there is a brain chemistry reaction that happens, but it's not in the same way that THC would affect you. But that might not be the thing that you need. But what kills me coming back is the fact that you do have a lot of people, like what you were saying about these CBD pens that were, you know, fast and flash. I want to see legacy products. Mm-hmm. I want to see legacy companies. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see, like, and that's why I appreciate and will support the people that have been in this industry for a long time. And I think that there's still room. But when you see somebody who's flash in the pan, that's really hard for me because of the fact that I'm, you know, people benefiting short term doesn't help us create a foundation and doesn't help us create a global industry. And that's where I see, you know what, like, let's be the tortoise and not the hare. Yes, speed to market is important and innovation and the fact that there are so many things that still need to be developed in this. So seeing the advent of plant scientists, of FDA, I'm working with scientists that I never thought, like, Nobel Prize winners. It blows your mind. That's so exciting when people of that caliber see the fact that we have... Like, there's a new horizon.
Finally.
Right? Finally, yes. And prohibition is over. Prohibition is over for Canadians. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see that cusp. And I think the wave that's most important is the medical wave, is seeing a global recognition for this as medicine and that people should get on board. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't negate. I mean, again, this is, I think, a viable treatment protocol for so many different things. But it doesn't negate, like, Big Pharma is not going to lose. Big Pharma is looking at this. I think I saw something recently about the fact that everybody was like, Big Pharma and Big Tech are just going to erode, you know, the core of this. And I'm like, I come from Big Tech.
Mm-hmm. So do a lot of small business owners.
And you know what? And Big Pharma, like, we have associations to Big Pharma. I'll tell you, with Vapien Medical, we're actually a resident of Johnson & Johnson. They're not.
I can feel
people.
Our listeners cringing
know,
at home.
They're wonderful people. You know,
I know there are benefits to Big Pharma, just like there are benefits to government and big corporations. We don't want to admit this because a lot of people in this industry come from a grassroots background. But I think the really important thing is to continue an open dialogue and promote the inclusion of different aspects of the industry. So you have, you know, not only different voices, but different goals. You know, yes, Canada is prohibition free, but the rest of the world isn't.
Absolutely.
And part of spreading that message is saying, like, look, not only do we have products that are reliable and sustainable, but we have, you know, women, people of color, indigenous people, like, we're coming together and uniting under whatever umbrella we want to call it to promote the fact that this is a useful and reliable product. So was that too soapboxy? Sorry.
No,
sometimes
not at all. You're absolutely
right.
We could have another episode just
absolutely.
On, like, women. And, yes, absolutely. It's, I don't think it's soapboxy at all. I think what we need to consider is the fact that, yes, you know what, Labatt will have a big role in this. Okay, I'm saying, like, if we're doing apples to apples. Mm-hmm. So imagine within the beer industry, Labatt will be a big player. However, some of these craft brewers are making an excellent living for themselves, and when they figure out their distribution, you know, they're creating their own community, mm-hmm. their, like, you know, their own tribes, if you will, and also exporting. So they're, you know, like, there's room for all kinds of
totally.
Players within
yeah.
the industry. I think what I want to see is more women get involved and women creating products for women. You know, just it being more diverse, because I'll tell you, in 6 years, it was something that was very male dominated for a really long time.
Still is, kind of, yeah. We're working on it.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress.
So it's excellent to see women that are forging through. There's some really fantastic women that have come into this space that I've had the pleasure of befriending and working with, and I love seeing more of that.
Me too. Not enough, but me too. I just wanted to ask about your particular, like, if you had a particular customer pool or demographic that you appeal to, with this product being kind of on the higher end, technically speaking, from what I've read and what I've seen about it, does that appeal to maybe an older vaporizer user or a newer vaporizer user? Are you finding that there are certain pillars, demographics that you're tapping into? Or is it just sort of like, we have a good product, let's get it into everybody's hands?
So with the light, I think, technologically speaking, we packed a lot in for an exceptional price. Mm-hmm. So it's a really great valued vape. And the reason we did that was because of the fact that, as I was telling you, with Hire and with Vapien Medical, we had a run of 5 years with the Summit series, which was exceptional. And people are still buy it, request it online. We have requests in stores, which blows my mind because of the fact that when you look at a technology cycle, that doesn't usually happen.
No.
So kudos to my partner for creating a really rugged vape. It's a piece of great design, mm-hmm. and great engineering. What we did was we wanted to reintroduce the brand and reinvigorate the brand. And with October 17th, we wanted to make sure that we were capturing the attention of the newbie, of a transformed or reformed mm-hmm. smoker, and anyone who was looking at a new piece of technology. What I look at is now transcending that demographic, and I want to go on the life cycle and the life journey with somebody throughout their cannabis experience. So if this is the first time you're vaping, this is an excellent choice. If this is something where you're like, I want another vape to go, I'm giving it as a present, I am an older user, the UX is really easy, it's not price prohibitive, and it introduces you to the Vapien family. And so we want to take you on that journey. I think that's how products need to be developed going forward. I don't think it's about, like, yes, with the Summit, we definitely looked and targeting, like, that really outdoorsy, rugged, adventurous type.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming out with a successor product in terms of the Summit series, which I'm really excited about. It's going to be even more rugged and even more refined and everything else. And
this, is that this year? Like, is that coming up?
hopefully, AKA team. I hope that it is being launched this this year. But we have a bunch of new products, and we really wanted to, again, have somebody who never hadn't heard about Vapium and us making enough noise about it was to try out the Lite, which is sort of light on price. But not light in terms of like what you're actually getting.
My last question is actually more of a like a personal question because I'm getting on a plane soon. Can people travel with like an empty vaporizer? Like, what are the rules? I know you can travel within Canada with cannabis on you now, but in terms of like leaving the country, if you don't have actual cannabis on you, but you have, I guess this is technically a cannabis tool. Is that prohibitive?
Obviously, this is not a legal opinion. I will disclaim myself from that, as our team would want me to. Truthfully, if you clean your vape on a regular basis, so here's my PSA. One, you brush your teeth every day, clean your vape often because of the fact that gunk and like buildup is going into your lungs. Don't do that. Like when people are like, my vape doesn't work. I'm like, when's the last time you cleaned it? They're like, 3 months ago. So let's start with that problem. If you're fastidious about cleaning it and really making sure that it's like there's less smell, one, you always have to remember anything that you're bringing with a battery needs to be in your carry-on, right? You can't check that because of there have been other companies that haven't been as fastidious in terms of their safety and whatnot in terms of how they manufacture
it.
With that, they have a policy where everything, all batteries, right? Like your laptop, your cell phone, everything has to be hand carried. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
I think it needs to be something that you make as a choice. So if you feel that your vape is clean enough, then I would say...
So I'm not going to bring my vape on the plane.
You know, don't vape on a plane. They definitely recommend that. Like, I know people that definitely have taken risks where they do vape on planes. I think that that's crazy. I value the fact that I am, I'm able to fly unhindered. And so I don't take that for granted. And I think that, like, again, it's about safety, right? Like, you're in a pressurized system. Don't vape on a plane. Yeah. Don't smoke on a plane. Yeah. It's kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
It's also against the law, right? True. We still have to. I think that that's the other thing is that no matter how, like we all in the industry, depending on how long you've been in the industry, we've all taken risks. I'm not for not of taking risks. That's a whole different episode. but I think it's a matter of like us respecting the parameters that people are setting in place because of the fact that that means that we're looking at responsible use. So like we advocate for conscious consumption. Like start low, go slow, and then like develop your relationship with it.
Adult use. Absolutely.
Right. So I'm not going to say to you, if you love to dab, I'm not going to be like, yo, take your torch with you. You know, you can buy a torch on the other side.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. They say don't, you know, you're not allowed to fly with those kinds of things. So I think it's a matter of personal choice. You know, I'm not good. Like, I can't tell you.
No, that's fine. Honestly, I wanted to hear it from an expert and
that's
I did.
Don't fly with the dirty vape. If a dog is going to smell it, that's, you know, you put yourself at risk.
Fair enough.
Like, be smart. Right? You know what I mean? Like, consciously consume.
I'm glad I got to hear it from an expert. did you have anything you wanted to add?
If you're looking for a great vape at a great price, I'd say like go to vapium.com and pick up a Lite. We just launched two new colors as well. So like colors are a fun thing. Like we look at lifestyle as well. So we came out with rose and graphite, which are fun. I love the design. I think one of the
things. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Thanks. It's getting, and you know what? It's evolving. And we've just actually today, one of the things I can say is we just brought a new advisor on board who is a brilliant designer and a fundamental like core of this city, one of the founders of Umbra.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And I'm in love with their family. Like,
that's
they're
great.
Wonderful, wonderful people.
That's a great like marriage, right? Between like great design and like a quality cannabis product.
We're so
that's fantastic.
About that. I don't know if I was really allowed to say that, but like I'm going to say that because of the fact that, you know, I'm over the moon.
Very exciting.
He believes in what we've done and what we've built. And so he's coming on board.
Awesome.
And yeah, he's a rock star.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Great.
I'm really excited about that. We have a pretty stellar team.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that people see that, you know, we're the roll up the sleeves kind of people that just want to get stuff done and make good products that help people.
Excellent. I can't wait to try the product. It was great chatting with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
That was my conversation with Lisa Haroon. I think vaporizing is a very, no pun intended, it's a very heated debate in the vaping communities because there isn't enough information around the potential harms of vaporizing, whether it's dried flower or oils or e-juices, just not enough time since the technology has come about. But it's great to sit down with a business owner who knows not only the technical requirements, but the lifestyle that one wants to have when using cannabis. Like, you could hear Lisa, like, has a profound respect for people who want to vaporize and go for a hike. Like, this is, I know we've said this a lot on the podcast, but it's important that we recognize, you know, in the new normal, in the new consumer, the kind of curious consumer, we have to include the need for lifestyle in the product itself. It's not just around the marketing, it's not just around the branding, but it's in the durability and the strength of the product. And I found it fascinating that, like, both of the founders of the company are, you know, their backgrounds are in robotics, and that's what they used to make. And it's like, yeah, I personally will be more inclined to investigate a company that has a stronger background in the actual mechanics of the product, not some necessarily a product that just has a great Instagram account. So I really enjoyed, like, having an honest chat about what it takes to build a new tech item or a new cannabis tool in this current landscape. Also, Toronto-based companies have a special place in my heart. So really enjoyed that conversation. On the topic of tech, next week we have a great episode for you. I got to sit down with the co-founders of Blockstrain. That's Blockstrain, not blockchain. Blockstrain, which is a very exciting new database system for cataloging cannabis and accessing proper testing for cannabis strains. This is a huge topic in the industry. This is something that people really continue to struggle with, whether it's with your LP or with, you know, your buddy down the street. It's hard to know what you're smoking and where it's come from and how it's grown, et cetera, et cetera. So I get to sit down with the co-founders of this company who have done the legwork, and it's pretty cool stuff. So definitely check that out. In the meantime, we're on the internet, we're on the socials, so check us out. We're on Instagram, folks. It's at The Dopist. That's at @THEDOPIST. We are also on Twitter, very exciting, at @TDopist. That's @TDOPIST. Let us know what you think of this week's episode. I'd love to hear some feedback. What questions do you have? What do you want to know about? What burning desires do you wish to fulfill in your kind of curious quest for knowledge in the green leaf? Was that poetic? I liked that. That rang true. Please let us know if you like the podcast. Also, remember your cannabis etiquette and puff puff pass this podcast on to a friend. The Dopist is produced by Weedbox. Audio production and editing by Noah Snyderman of Voice Magic. Research and artwork by myself, Zoe Brownstone. Original music by John Mavro. The views and opinions expressed by our guests are theirs alone.